Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
With Renault's award-winning hybrid and full electric lineup, where style meets tech. Rethink Renault.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll look at the verdict in the social media addiction trial. Google and Meta have been found liable. What does this mean for the future of social? As always, you can email the show, techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. A little bit later in the show, we are going to hear about a brand new centre. It's the All-Ireland Science Media Centre that has opened in Airfield in Dublin. And it's all about the importance of accurate information getting out there from the world of science and tech. So we'll hear all about that. We're also going to look a little bit closer at that story in relation to dodgy boxes. So Sky will now have access to over 300 dodgy box owners' names, their information. So we'll take a closer look at that. And as I said, I will get to some of your questions a little bit later in the show. But I want to start this week with the significant moment that happened on Wednesday. Google and Meta, the parent company of Instagram, WhatsApp and Facebook, were found liable for designing platforms that are dangerous for kids and teens. Now, this is a story we've covered extensively on the show over the last number of weeks. It all started with a young woman who is now 20 years old. She went by the initials KGM. The case was brought against Google, against Meta, against Snap and against TikTok. Both TikTok and Snap settled before the trial began. We've no information in relation to that settlement, so what was in it or anything like that, we do not know. It pressed on with Google and Meta. We saw executives from Meta take to the stand. Mark Zuckerberg was there. The CEO of Instagram was there. There was a lot of talk about the definition of addiction. It went on for a number of weeks, but then the verdict was handed down. So the jury found Meta liable for $4.2 million in damages and Google for $1.8 million. Now, they may seem like small figures, but this goes way beyond just a financial penalty. Joining me to talk about this once again is Alex Cooney of CyberSafe Kids. Alex, we've spoken about this quite a bit over the last wee while. Before we go through the finer detail, what was your initial reaction to the verdict?
Yeah, I mean, this is being described as a landmark decision, and I think that that's a fair categorization. You know, it's the beginning of a number of upcoming trials in the US around similar issues, the kind of the harm that the addiction model is causing to children. The fact that these companies were aware of the harm and weren't acting to kind of address it, I think this is a landmark. I think that you know, for a long time, these companies have been able to hide behind this shield of Section 230 under the Communications Decency Act, which is three decades old at this stage. And so this case has found a way around it by arguing that it's all about the design.
Mm. And this is something that you and I have been talking about on this show for years, in that, I'm always eager to stress this, I'm not anti-tech or anything of the sort. I'm in favour of young people engaging with technology. But there is, and the court has found, an issue with the fundamental design of how these apps work.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's an engagement-based model. And the issue has been, particularly, I would say, in the last kind of, 12, 14 years, is it's engagement at all costs, no matter the consequence. And where children are concerned, that's particularly problematic. So the idea that, you know, you're keeping them on, you're keeping them scrolling, you're constantly sending new content their way, you're sending them down rabbit holes, and especially where it's content that is going to be harmful in some way, is inappropriate for their age, of course, seeing any content over and over again or the same themes of content is bad. But if that is particularly problematic content, be it sexual, violent, eating disorder type content, then it's even worse. And I think that the fact is that the court have found that not only was there an addictive design model, but they knew it and that they didn't do anything to rectify it.
Yeah, I was obviously following this incredibly closely. And although there was very powerful testimony from the woman at the heart of this, I also found the documents from Meta in particular one of the biggest smoking guns here, because this wasn't an issue that they were unaware of. Evidence was presented that showed that executive senior people at the company raised concerns about the addictive nature, about the algorithm, about the screen time, and they were acknowledged, but very little, if anything, was done about it.
Oh, and I think we've heard that pattern before from whistleblowers, right? That you know, people were raising concerns and that they weren't being listened to, they weren't being heeded. And certainly there was evidence to suggest that they knew that it was really beneficial to them to kind of be able to access what they call the tween market and to keep them, you know, you're getting them younger and you're kind of getting that customer loyalty from the beginning, and that it would be really commercially beneficial for them to do so. Certainly in the end, I think Meta has borne 70% of the kind of fines and YouTube has 30%. So that's an interesting kind of split there. YouTube, of course, doesn't think it is social media. So when they're both companies have said they're going to fight this outcome. And I think that YouTube are very keen to kind of distance themselves from the idea that they're a social media platform. But nonetheless, the autoplay feature has been, and the short form video format that was introduced in 2020, you know, that has been deeply problematic for kids as well. I mean, we also shouldn't forget, so that obviously this case centered on Google and YouTube and Meta's Instagram, but there were two companies that chose to settle, which I mm-hmm. think tells its own story. So Snapchat and TikTok decided not to have these cases heard in front of a jury, and to just to kind of quietly settle in the background. And we mustn't forget that, because I think they would be very well aware of the outcome that happened yesterday.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, one thing that what I spoke about on News Talk Breakfast during the week is that this is just the beginning. This is as significant a moment, if not more so, than the Cambridge Analytica scandal a number of years ago, because it's showing that there are consequences for big tech when it comes to the use, abuse, misuse of information and users as a whole. There was this, you know, adage of, you know, if it's free, you're the product type thing. But the attitudes have to change now, because this is a huge moment. This is a proper crossroads.
It is. And it's being described actually in some quarters as the tobacco moment. I'm a little cautious there. I mean, I hope it is. I genuinely hope it is. But I've heard it before and it hasn't proven to be thus. So, and I also don't think this is going to be an overnight change. You know, I think these companies have already indicated they're going to fight it. We've seen them drag things through courts here in Ireland, you know, following the Data Protection Commission investigations. We know they have endless resources to fight these things. But the reality is they have made enormous amounts of money over this last couple of decades on the back of their users, and that includes children. And you know, the idea that, you know, I would never say they set out at the outset to deliberately harm children, but they were aware as time went on that that was a consequence of the design, and they weren't putting in measures or protections for children against these harmful design features. So I think yesterday was a really important outcome. There are more cases to follow in the US. We obviously, in parallel, have happening at the European level a number of investigations. There were preliminary findings published just about 3 weeks ago into TikTok and addictive design features there, and determining that yes, indeed, they were addictive. You know, there's other investigations ongoing, I think, into Meta. So, you know, whether it's these high level investigations or whether it's these court cases, I think we are increasingly looking at this model, this engagement based model, and saying, you know, it should not be at any cost, and especially to the most vulnerable members of society, which, of course, includes children.
One aspect of this that came up time and again is that the fines will be one aspect of this. But then there also may be corrective measures ordered, and they may have to change, you know, the very core of how they work, particularly for younger users. I haven't asked any of the big tech companies, but I'm assuming they will say, since this woman was a child, we have introduced things like teen accounts and reminders in terms of screen time. Is that sufficient, or is there more they could be doing?
No, that's not sufficient. And even with Instagram teens, you know, it's already been proven that the recommender algorithm, which is supposed to be much safer, it's not enough. You know, we need a recommender algorithm that is designed for age appropriateness, not for engagement. I mean, this is, as long as its primary purpose is engagement, you're going to have these problems. You know, we know that they shouldn't be profiling children and using the information that they garner to then send content to children, but they do it anyway. So it really is going to come back to addressing the model. Of course, you know, there's age appropriateness as well. And we need to do far more thinking about, you know, what is and isn't suitable for children. We want, or certainly we as CyberSafe Kids, want children to be able to safely participate in digital spaces. But we need far more safe digital spaces in which they can participate, because so many places that they're going, and unfortunately, we also see underage access, you know, aren't suitable, are showing it harmful content, inappropriate content. There's far too easy access of bad actors to children. So we really do fundamentally need to address these design things. So, you know, look, we have to hope that this is, you know, signaling, you know, both these investigations at the European level and these court cases in the US, that they're signaling, heralding change. I just hope it comes quicker than, you know, we've seen so far.
That notion of safer internet, because again, I'm all for kids having access, and I think if the social media ban was to come into play here, I do think some kids would lose out. The kids who can't find their tribe in other areas or haven't found their tribe in other areas, I think there is a real opportunity there. Like, do you believe the tech companies, if they had the will, the want, and the financial incentive to do it, that they could do?
Yes, of course. I really believe that. And it's going to be a combination of, you know, proper age verification measures. It's going to be, it's a central design consideration when, you know, at the outset, when you're looking at how something is going to be designed. And that just hasn't been the case. What we've seen over these years is that these child safeguards are kind of add-ons after the fact, and they're never going to be as effective as if they were designed as part of a kind of thoughtful process at the outset. You know, there's been really good work into what, you know, what does child rights by design look like? And it's, I think it's, you know, kind of 11 principles that would be followed at the design stage to ensure that, you know, children get a say in what it looks like, that it is safe by design, that is, you know, privacy is a central consideration. You know, all these areas that are actually considered in the design from the outset. And that, unfortunately, just has not been the model that we've been exposed to.
But from the tech company's point of view, is a safer social platform for kids, is that going to make them money?
No, it's going to be much more challenging to make money from children in that way. I mean, you know, I go back to that. That was the Harvard study from 2020. Well, I think it was published in 2023, that looked at, you know, the money that they are making off children, these companies. It looked at six of the big companies in the US in 1 year, and they made, like, I think it was 11. No, hang on. What was the figure? It was about $13 billion. Of advertising to children under the age of 18, and 2 billion of that was children under 13. You know, that, and they're not supposed to be advertising to children, not supposed to be profiling children, and they're not supposed to be collecting their data. You know, we have protections in place, they're just not following them.
And I feel like we say this quite a bit, but this is another positive stepping stone, right? In that it is significant. It's important that we acknowledge that it happened. We know there are a ton more cases in the wings waiting to be heard, as you said, both in the US and here in Europe and in other parts of the world. Like, are you hopeful that this will be a significant signposting in the history of social media, in that this will be quoted and cited as the moment where everything changed?
I think it is part of a change that is happening, for sure. I think, you know, at the end of the day, this case was about one young woman when she was a child. But that you had every day in court, there were all these families who had been negatively impacted in one way or another by their children's access to social media and to these kind of online platforms. So there is this huge support, there's this wealth of evidence, but it really considered, so people have obviously long been saying that these are addictive models, but there in the courts, it was proven, you know, the evidence was considered so carefully through that time, and it was proven to be thus, you know, and it's the same with the hearing in Europe, sorry, the investigation in Europe around TikTok. It's now about how that change happens and what that change looks like. I think we have reached a stage, and parents are increasingly saying this, that what we have is not acceptable. Change does need to happen, but it's been historically very slow. So I just have to, I have to hope that this does herald something different, and that it's accelerating that much needed change.
In terms of what's happening in the US and other parts of the world, do we anticipate something similar happening in Ireland?
So I think what we've been seeing in recent times, and obviously Australia was the first country to kind of go ahead and put a law in place to ban essentially children under the age of 16 from accessing certain places, certain apps online. And more recently, the eSafety Commission in Australia has announced this evaluation, which I think is exactly right. They need to see what works, what doesn't work. I mean, we already know that children are finding ways around, that there are still places that weren't on the banned list that they can still go. I mean, there was no gaming platforms on that list. There's, you know, the likes of WhatsApp is still, you know, accessible to children. In fact, chatbots are still AI generated, you know, chatbots are still available to children. So it wasn't completely comprehensive. And we need to see how these measures work in practice. But we do ultimately need safe spaces that children can access online for information, for education, for entertainment. And as you said earlier, mm-hmm. to find their tribe. But they need to be safe, appropriate. There needs to be accountability when things go wrong. I mean, you know, I say this so often, but you know, what other industry that provides products to children doesn't have to kind of meet these certain standards before those products end up in the hands of children? This is the one area where we've really failed on that we're rolling this stuff out to children and it's in their hands and it's entirely accessible to them. And yet it's not kind of been had the rigorous checks and balances that should be there before that happens.
You cite, like, in terms of GDPR, right, we've seen examples where very hefty fines are handed down after very significant investigations, and then it goes into an appeals process. And it just feels like I'm getting older and older and older. And I don't know. I just feel like I haven't seen significant action to put manners on big tech to protect younger people, but also anybody on the internet. I don't feel like anything that dramatic has changed. Are you optimistic that this is going to change and hopefully the time in terms of going through the courts and all the rest, it'll speed up so that you're not waiting for somebody who joined YouTube at 6 to finally get their day in court age 20?
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. This has taken a really long time. This reckoning has taken a long time to come. And certainly the example you gave of the Data Protection Commission investigations, you know, most of those are still being dragged through the courts. You know, very few of those fines have actually been paid. I mean, they are indeed hefty fines, but I think only about 0.6% have been paid to date. So most of those are still being argued in court. Google, on behalf of YouTube, and Meta, on behalf of Instagram, both indicated yesterday after the verdict that they were going to fight this. So I think we will see that pattern again. But there is something different about this, certainly in the US context. This is finally, this case found a way around this Section 230 shield. The Section 230 shield is a law that goes back 30 years. It's the Communications Decency Act. And Section 230 basically said that, you know, these companies are not responsible for the content posted. You know, it was that simple. And it's been a shield that's protected them. It's like the analogy was made with phone companies, you know, like the phone companies provide the hardware, et cetera. But they're not responsible for the conversations that are had, you know, through those phone lines. And this finally is a breakthrough in that it wasn't about the content posted. It was about the very design of these platforms and whether they were designed to be addictive and whether they were essentially knowingly putting out products that were going to cause harm to children. And in all the allegations, they were found wanting, they were found liable. So I do think there is something different, certainly in the US context, about this. In a way, Europe has something similar around that, you know, whether or not they're publishers, which goes back to the e-commerce directive. But we've kind of moved on from it through the Digital Services Act, because now we're saying, actually, once they know that there is harmful or illegal content, they have a responsibility to remove it. So we've moved on. But I do think this is a landmark just because of that challenge around the design.
Okay, well, look, we'll keep the chins up, keep the fingers crossed, and obviously we'll keep you up to date with every single development as and when it happens. But for the moment, Alex, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Alex Cooney of Cyber Safe Kids. I would love to hear your thoughts as always. TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address. I do think, as we said a few times there, this is a key moment. This is going to be a standout point on the overall timeline of social media and the internet as a whole. My hope, though, as I said to Alex there, is just that the process can kind of speed up a little bit and we can have some meaningful change sooner rather than later. Right, when we come back here on News Talk, we're going to take a closer look at the latest twist and turn in the battle against the dodgy box.